So, with Cameron gone, you have the pleasure of listening to me today. So, you're clapping for me, not the absence of Cameron, right? Okay. Make sure. Okay. Cameron's word last week was awesome, in case you missed it. If you did miss it, you need to go back and listen to it. It should be online or online very shortly, but it was a good one. All right. So today, I've had, like, for the last few weeks, a bunch of different things swirling in my mind. So I'm going to put them together and hopefully it makes sense. And what I want to talk about was mainly spurned by this question: what are we doing to impact and bring revival to our community? What are we doing to impact and bring revival to our community? Because I think this is a question that all of us need to consistently be asking ourselves. Because rarely does something of significance happen by accident. We're not going to just fall into revival, I can tell you that. So how do you think it happens? So I read this quote the other day that really impacted me. It said, let's see if I go there. Yeah, there you go. To grow is not to timidly sit on some safe shore at water's edge and clumsily grab whatever happens to float by me. Rather, it is to deliberately step into waters both calm and turbulent in order to wrestle great things to shore. I wish I said that. But what it comes down to is intentionality. How are we going to impact and bring revival to our community? It's by being intentional. And so today I'm going to talk about intentionality, but not just, like with this quote, not just intentionality in growing, though you do have to be intentional to grow. I want to talk about being intentional in everything we do. What we do, what we say, which is actually believing and being the people that we want to be, right? Want to be intentional about how we spend our money. Like, is buying this thing right now actually going to set me up for the future, for where I'm going? Or is it going to be a hindrance to me obtaining my future goals? Who we spend our time with, is this person dragging me down? Am I in relationship more with my smartphone than with actual people? Because that's a real good question. It is. These are real things that we need to be examining today. Intentional is defined as an action performed with awareness, done deliberately, consciously, and on purpose. Done deliberately, consciously, and on purpose. I have a song I want to play for you. You guys ready for this? Do we have sound? We don't have sound. You're like, I know this song. Do you know how to unmute it, Gary? I mean, you're not Gary. You're rich. You got it? Yeah? Ah, hold on. Here we go.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera.
Listen to this next verse.
Should I try?
Come on, sing it. I know you want to.
The future's not ours to see. Que será, será.
What will be, will be.
All right. Isn't that about the dumbest message you've ever heard in your life? It's catchy, but that is a horrible thing to teach your children. Whatever will be, will be. You have no control. Whatever will be, will be. It's a lie. I mean, there is a message here, I guess, about being thankful for whatever comes. That is definitely a message. I'm finding the good in this song. Being thankful, finding contentment and finding joy in whatever comes in life. But God gave us this powerful thing called free will. He gave us the ability to choose. So life is not just a whatever, it is a whatever we choose. Almost every famous person in history is famous because of the choices and the sacrifices they made before they became famous. They didn't just happen upon becoming famous. If Michael Phelps just swam a few laps each week, ate whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, and just showed up at swim meets, do you think he would be the most decorated Olympian of all time? No way. And what gets me, this song that we just listened to, Doris Day, do you think she would be famous if she didn't work on her vocals? Like, oh, should I paint a picture or should I sing a song? Should I work? Whatever. It doesn't matter. No, she actually had to intentionally work on her voice. She was actually an actress as well, so she had to practice acting. She had to be intentional about her life to get where she got, right? Now, I don't want to negate the fact that there are things in life that are completely out of our control. Maggie and Kevin, I mean, great example today. Kevin getting cancer, completely out of their control. But what do you choose to do with that? Me, my mother, losing my mom at 10 years old by a brain aneurysm. What do you do with that? We still have a choice. Do we let what happens to us dictate how we're going to live the rest of our lives? Are we going to live in bitterness, disappointment, pain? Are we going to become bitter with God? Or are we going to come to the place where we say, you know, God, I know that you're still good. I know this isn't from you. I know that you love me and you're still worthy of my praise. Right? But this is why Charles Swindoll once said famously, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. That's a powerful lesson. But at the same time, it's missing a huge component of life. That is completely reaction. It's missing proaction. If life is only circumstance and a reaction to it, then nothing of note would actually ever get done. Jesus certainly didn't live a reactionary life. Believing whatever will be, will be. He lived intentionally. He lived with awareness. He acted deliberately, consciously, and on purpose. If it was just whatever will be, he probably would have steered clear of going to Jerusalem. Right? So what was Jesus aware of? First of all, he was aware of his mission. Because Jesus' mission largely dictated what he did. I want to read Luke 4, 16 through 21. I'm going to put part of it up here. He said, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, and was his custom, he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Part of Jesus' mission was this: to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It was part of Jesus' mission. Another part of Jesus' mission is found in Luke 19:10. And it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost." Obviously, this is an important one. A huge part of Jesus' mission was to die on the cross. That's why he didn't avoid Jerusalem, right? He came to die, take our sin, take our punishment upon himself. But it wasn't just so we could get heaven. What was also lost was relationship. He died to bring back relationship, to seek and save relationship with mankind. And of course, there are several other passages that I could pull out of where Jesus spoke of what his mission was while on earth. But these things really powerfully drove his decision making. But I want to give you one more from Jesus' own mouth that might throw a little curveball in here. And there is a purpose for this curveball, okay? Matthew 15:24 says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." What? What about us? That wasn't his mission while he was on earth. His mission was to Israel. So the translation here is, "I didn't come for the religious elite," right? The lost sheep of Israel. "I didn't come for the religious elite, the ones that feel like they've got it all together. I didn't come for them. And I didn't come for the Gentiles. Not in this moment." Now, we know that Jesus came to die for the whole world, right? He said as much, so. But for this time and place, it was for Israel, the lost sheep. So why do I point this out? Because Jesus, even though he was constantly aware of his mission, he also made exceptions. He made exceptions to his official mission. Matthew 8:5. "When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. 'Lord,' he said, 'my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly.' Jesus said to him, 'Shall I come and heal him?' The centurion replied, 'Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, 'Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith.' Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go, let it be done just as you believed it would.' And his servant was healed at that moment." That's a violation of his mission. But he turned aside. Then there's a Samaritan woman at the well. You guys know that very well. It's another violation of his mission. That Samaritan woman, you gotta ignore him. No. And then arguably, the most famous passage of all of Scripture happened during one of these violations of Jesus' mission. This is in John 3. "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him.'" So Jesus and Nicodemus, they have this little back and forth about the kingdom of God and how to enter into it. And then Jesus, to this person who he should not be talking to, he utters the most famous words in all of Scripture. Like, people all across the world, whether they're believers or not, they've probably heard this passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I mean, I'm glad he had that conversation with Nicodemus. All three of these instances, a violation of his mission. But in them, he wasn't losing his intentionality. Right? His mission was not the only thing he was aware of. What else was he aware of? Anybody know? He was aware of you? Well, yes, he was aware of you. Yeah. John 5:19. Truly, truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself unless he sees the Father doing it. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does. John 12:49. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. Jesus, more than his official mission, was constantly aware of what the Father was saying and doing. And what is the Father constantly saying and doing? Well, you better believe that it lines up with his character. And God is love. So regardless of his mission, Jesus was more in tune with who the Father was wanting to love in that moment. And here's the thing, he wasn't just speaking words of love. Like it's easy to say, I love the world. Right? But demonstrating it is a whole other thing. He loved consciously, he loved deliberately, and he loved on purpose. I have something you want to watch, that I want you to watch.
Did you hear that?
Yeah,
I heard someone say hello.
Who? I didn't hear anybody say hello.
I don't know, Stan. I just heard someone say hello.
Yeah, there's a lot of fish here. Anybody, literally anybody could have just...
There, right there.
Where am I looking?
There.
Oh.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, my goodness, it's a child. Hello?
Hi, kid.
Hello?
Over here. Hello?
Hi. Hi, I'm Dory. Can you please help me?
Well, hi, Dory. Dory, are you lost?
Yeah, well, where are your parents?
I can't remember.
Oh.
We'll look around. Are any of these fish your parents?
Hi, I'm Dory. Can you please help me?
Huh?
Honey, you just said that.
I did?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I suffer from short-term memory loss.
Oh, how awful.
Short-term memory loss.
Okay, just... You wait here for 1 second, okay, sweetie? Stan,
what? What?
What do we do? The poor thing is lost.
I don't know. What do you want me to do? I mean...
She can't remember a thing.
She could come from anywhere.
Wow. You are no help today.
I'm just...
Dory, sweetie, how about we...
Oh, she's gone.
Dory?
That's not good.
Dory!
Hey, Dory!
Dory!
Family, can you help me?
Where did you see them last?
Well, funny story, but I forgot.
Oh, sweetie. Do you want to come swim with us?
That is the nicest offer I've gotten all day. I can't remember. Anywho, thanks, but I'm looking for someone.
Hi! I'm Dory. Was it something I said? Kidding me. Okay. You're not coming back. I was looking for something, and I... Okay, totally get it. Date night. Have fun.
Well, I hope you find whatever it is you're looking for.
You and me both. Any idea what that was?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay. Guess we'll hang out another time. Don't be a stranger. Stranger.
Isn't that sad? We watched this at family camp this year. Family camp, another amazing thing that if you haven't made it out to family camp before, you should, because it's, once again, one of my favorite things that we do here. Great time of connection, intentionality, and relationship. So when we watched this year, I'd already seen this movie before, but this scene, I think more than ever, maybe because of the other things that have been swirling around in my head, it really struck me. Which fish would I be? There's so many fish just swimming right by. Some ignoring. Some purposely running away. Some stopping. Some half-heartedly, well, you can just come along with us. I'm not going to stop what I'm doing, but you can join with us. Who would we be? I kept thinking about the phrase that Heidi Baker coined so many years ago, stopping for the one. And essentially meaning that we take time and give our full attention and love the person that God has placed right in front of us. It's so easy to just, well, I don't have to, ain't nobody got time for that. I'm going to move around. Especially with somebody like Dory. I can't even remember what I'm even asking you about. I don't have time for that. I'm going to move on. But are we willing to stop for the one and truly see them? Truly love them? Bill Derryberry does this better than probably anybody I've ever met. And some of you know that. I don't know that there's a day that goes by that Bill doesn't meet somebody new, doesn't get their phone number, doesn't invite them to church, or to lunch, or try to connect them with somebody, or set them up on a date. You know it's true. And I joked with him just a little while ago. I said, do you know half the people, do you remember half the people in your contacts, in your phone? Because he probably has more contacts than anybody on the planet. He probably has the whole planet in his phone, actually. I don't know how he does it. But that's because Bill is intentional about stopping for the one. He's intentional. He consciously, deliberately, and on purpose stops and sees the person in front of him and loves them. But it's so easy to be one of these other fists to just let life happen. Like, I am too busy. I am too busy for that. It's so easy to let our busyness actually make the decisions for us. Right? It's amazing to me that in this modern era that we live in, with all of our conveniences that we have, that we don't have more time. So when we need to do laundry, right, Shanna or I do not need to gather our tub and our washboard and go down to the creek and spend the entire day scrubbing our clothes and washing them, right? Thank you, Jesus. Let's just thank Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No, because we have clothes washers, and many of us have them in our own house. So we throw a load in and we do something else. Or we just watch Netflix while it twirls and washes for us, right? We have dishwashers. We can sit on our couch and order almost anything and have it delivered directly to us. And yet, this has not translated into us having more time for relationship. More time for one-on-one connection with actual people, not the Facebook. Right? It has not translated to that. Jesus said that we would be known by how we love one another. Which means that the way we love ought to look different than the way the world loves. Right? If it doesn't look any different, then we should be questioning some things within ourselves. How are we being intentional about loving one another? How are we being intentional about putting our stuff aside and seeing the person in front of us? Giving them our time, giving them our energy. It will cost you. It will cost you your time. It might cost you money. It'll cost you energy. Love actually will maybe cost you heartache. There's so much that love can cost you, but it's more rewarding than anything on the planet. How are we making love a priority? So let's talk about how we begin to live intentionally. First, put que sera sera to death. Okay? Let's start there. If you still want to sing it because it's a catchy tune, I get it. Just don't teach it. Don't believe it. It's a lie. If you go on believing, but here's the thing. If you go on believing that que sera sera is the truth, then it is for you. What you believe is what you'll actually get. But here's the downside. You'll never live up to your potential. That's truth. So we need to renew our minds on the truth that for freedom's sake, he set us free. And he set us free so we could make powerful decisions, powerful choices to determine who we will be. I've heard and read, and maybe many of you have heard and read this too, people discussing how the American dream is dead. And you know what? For those people who believe that, by and large, that's what they will see. That's what they will get. Yet somehow, immigrants come here year after year from impoverished nations with absolutely nothing in their pockets and become self-made millionaires. Why? Because they still believed in the American dream. They believed, I can be whoever I want to be, whoever I choose to be, and I can do whatever I choose to do. I can make myself in America. Now, I'm not preaching capitalism here. Just get that. But it's still a good principle. It's a mindset. Do we have the right mindset? So now once we get rid of the que sera sera belief system, we need a mission. We need goals. We need something we're going after. We can't act with awareness of a mission if we don't have a mission. So some of you might be saying, I don't know what my mission in life is. I don't have any vision for my life. I don't have any goals. I don't know what my calling is. Whatever you want to call it. That's okay. Jesus has one for you. Because Jesus' mission is actually ours. Jesus' mission to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, setting the oppressed free, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, that's actually our mission as well. This is actually the mandate of every single believer. I don't know if you realize that. That is your mandate. Now, you might have other missions that God has specifically given you, but there will always be this one. This one will always remain for every believer. Just as He is, so are we in the world. Remember, Jesus was the Christ, meaning the anointed one. Remember, He said, He has anointed me to do these things. Well, guess what? You are Christians, so you are the anointed ones. Right? So this is your mission. So start there. Be faithful in what He's placed before you. Be faithful to this mission, and I actually guarantee you that He'll expand the vision for your life. So then once we have a mission, we need to continually remind ourselves of the mission. That's really important. If we just create this mission in our minds and we never revisit it, how will we know if we're on track? We'll be like, don't worry. Wait, what was my mission again? Ah, dang it. If we're going to live with awareness of our mission, we need to be consistently asking ourselves how we're doing and moving towards our goals and our vision and our mission. Right? That's why I'm asking myself this question, what are we doing to impact and bring revival to our community? If we aren't asking these types of questions, the likelihood is that we are doing nothing. Or at least very, very little if we're not asking that question. Are we making progress? Are things getting better in our community? So lastly, to live intentionally, at least the way God intended, we have to learn how to love. Did you hear that? We got to learn how to love. We got to learn how to love intentionally. You know what this means? It means that we sometimes actually have to lay down our plans. Whatever our mission is, actually lay it aside for the sake of the person in front of us. Lay down, well, I thought I was doing this, but God put you in my path. What God is saying and doing right now is loving you. So here I am. History is filled with the stories of intentional people who did great things. But what you'll actually find is that a lot of them were horrible at loving people. Steve Jobs. He is notorious. I mean, he did great things. I am thankful for Steve Jobs. But he was notoriously horrible at loving people. That's not us. That's not who we as followers of Christ are called to be. Yes, we're called to make an impact on the world, but if we sacrifice love, we've lost everything. Jesus did it, so should we. Because though I do strongly believe that we will be held accountable for what we've been given and how we stewarded what we were given on earth. I think Jesus made that very clear in the parable of the talents. How do we steward what was given to us? Were we intentional with what God gave to us? Very important. However, I think even more important is one day we'll be asked, did you learn to love? Did you learn to love? I want my answer to be yes. It doesn't happen by accident, though. You're not going to fall into it. I know people fall into love. Yeah, fall into lust. People fall into love, but they don't necessarily learn to love. Love requires intentionality. So here's what I want us to do. We have some time. We're going to end a little differently. Can I have the team come up? play a little mood music. That's what I'm going to do. Okay, so how many of you actually have smartphones in here? Yes, a lot of you have smartphones. So pull out your smartphone. Yes, I want you to actually pull out your phone if you have a smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone and you have some paper or something to write with, pull that out. Because we are going to be intentional about being intentional today. I want us to spend some time asking the Father, what are you saying over my life? What is my mission? And I want you to begin to write it down. Type it out, whatever the case may be. What have you called me to do? Be specific as you can. Some of it may be, love my family well. Love the people in my church well. For people like Buck and Annie and probably and Dick here, it could be, go visit the people in the prison. Go visit people in jail. Be specific. What is my mission? Because you can't act with awareness of it if you don't know what it is. Let's take a few moments.
Thank you.
Okay, most people are wrapping up, so the reason why I want you to do this now is because I know once you leave this building, life is going to happen, right? And so we want to dictate what happens. So, and we do that by remembering our mission, right? So now we have it. You have something at least, hopefully. And I want you to revisit this tomorrow morning when you wake up. What's my mission? God, how do you want me to fulfill my mission today? How am I moving forward today? And keep it up. And I promise you, you'll see progress. Let's be intentional with how we love one another and how we love our community. Wouldn't it be awesome if our community would say, oh man, that church, they know how to love. Man, I feel it every time they come around me. There's something different there. That's what I want to see. Intentionality. Wait. So God, we thank you that you have plans for us. We thank you that you're always speaking and you're always doing and you're always loving. And so we commit today to go after you. We want to be intentional. We want to bring your kingdom. We want to see heaven come on the earth. And we know that you've called us to be your instruments of change on the earth. So we're yours, Jesus. Use us.